Artists for a Cause is a nonprofit that allows visual and performing artists to use their talents for community improvement. St. Louis On the Air contributor Steve Potter has more on this organization's activities and its new location in St. Louis.
Artists for a Cause will officially open its new office on October the 20th in the new DOTSAC Arts Incubator and Grand Center. Countertenor Terry Barber founded the organization in 2009 in Florida, and he joins us now. Welcome back to the program.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me on.
Because we actually met in 2009. You were here in St. Louis, I think, for a performance with St. Louis Baroque.
That's true. And I've met some longtime friends and collaborators through that organization, including one that I'm performing with this Friday.
Mm-hmm. And for years, you were with the group Chanticleer, and I know you've performed here a few times at least.
For sure, in the Basilica. And I had a performance, just one in St. Louis so far since I've moved here, at the Sheldon last year.
Well, you have a concert this Friday that we'll talk about more in a little bit later. But a couple of years ago, you relocated from Florida to St. Louis. Why'd you do that?
Well, I have a lot of great family connections here. My parents met at St. Louis University. My stepsister's one owns Squire's Restaurant, which is one of my favorites, of course. And the other one was executive director of the 250th celebration of St. Louis, and Aaron Buddy, and works for the United Way. So for me, since I'm touring in the U.S. and Canada more and less outside the country as much as I used to, it's great to be in the center and be somewhere where my kids can be with their cousins when I'm out on the road.
I understand you could almost work for the Chamber of Commerce because you're a big promoter of the city, aren't you?
Well, I have to say that having lived in Chicago, London, San Francisco, New York, the size of St. Louis to me is perfect. We've got access to incredible culture. If you want Ethiopian food or the second longest running symphony in the country or the biggest musical theater outdoor space, you can find them here. But also that sense of it being a smaller town, people's real sense of community responsibility, that you connect in a real way with people. I can say that since Artists for a Cause has had intention of starting programming here, some of the biggest and best arts organizations in St. Louis have thrown their doors open, offering us things like some of their best talent to audition for us with referrals, free rehearsal space, reciprocal ads. So in bigger cities where you might see people thinking of a new organization as a competitor or who are you and what do you want, I had really the opposite experience here in St. Louis.
Well, later this month, you really make it official.
That's true. We'll have our grand unveiling of programs. The office doesn't officially really open until January, but we're actually inviting people in to come and see what Artists for a Cause has in store for the city. The organization supports artists who serve community needs, so there's always that engagement of artists, support for artists, whether it be development opportunities for students and educational opportunities for students or professional opportunities for paid opportunities for professionals. So we don't ask professional artists to donate their livelihood since mm-hmm. they're obviously already in a struggling segment.
Yeah, you're sensitive to that, are you?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, a professional artist myself, and I'm still touring quite a bit, but have promised the Board of Artists for a Cause as we open our second U.S. office in St. Louis that I will continue to scale back because Artists for a Cause is one so much bigger than any one artist.
So Artists for a Cause has been based in Florida, but you've been involved around the country doing things too, right? A number of different projects, I mean many.
So yes, they're all about engaging artists and seeing how we can find creative solutions for community improvement. You and I would agree that art in and of itself is community improvement, but we take it one step further, never really making what we call art for art's sake at Artists for a Cause. We're always saying, well, how can we get dancers to feed the poor, for example? So we'll have two events in January in a program called Dance for Food that's raised 25,000 pounds of food so far to feed the needy. And people who come will literally pay with non-perishable food, cans of beans, if you will. And so obviously, it's a cultural opportunity for the community. They're going to see in one of the performances the five best dance companies that St. Louis has to offer. And another one, our kind of rising star series, five incredible companies that are on their way. And so one of those performances will be at the ZAC, the DOTSAC Arts Incubator, and the other one will be at the Sun Theater, both right here in Grand Center.
Well, why is doing good important to you? I mean, most artists are glad just to try to make a living. Why are you trying to do more in that? Why is that important to you?
That's really an interesting question. Unfortunately, I lost my mother to cancer, to lymphoma, when she was in her 50s, and I was about to release my first solo album. She was always a good role model in that she made art for fun and did things. The value of her experience in the arts was not to do with financial gain. I always joke with my audience at the beginning of concerts and say, you know, my parents always wanted me to be a performing artist because it's such a lucrative and stable industry. obviously, you know, we have other reasons for being involved in the arts. But when I lost her and I was about to release my first solo album, I decided maybe I would put it aside for a while. I couldn't really look at it because it was so close to my heart, and it was songs that she had helped me choose for the album. It was only a couple of months before I decided to dedicate the album to her and give the proceeds to the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. And through that process, they tried to engage me to become very involved with the organization. So I started to recognize both the interest and the struggles of artists who wanted to use their talent to make a difference in the community. And the problems that I saw seemed very solvable. And it was frustrating to me. I wanted to make that easier for visual and performing artists who deserve some support, to deserve certain recognition, tools to be successful, to put their art out there in an impactful way. And then also the incredible benefit that this unique source of awareness and resources could be for many different causes. That, you know, two of the food banks that we've chosen here in St. Louis to partner with have both thanked me and said, this is unlike anything that we've been offered before. And they're really excited about how can the dance community come together to help these food banks. So it's really an interesting connection for the arts and for the needs that we have in St. Louis.
Terry, you are a countertenor. I'm not sure if most people know what that is.
It's the rarest type of singing voice. Men who sing comfortably, usually in a classical context, in the range that women sing in, which begs the question, why do we want men to sing in the range of women anyway? We've got women doing a pretty decent job, I think. The answer is not quite hysterical, but actually historical. Before the classical period, men and women weren't often allowed to share the stage. And so great composers like Handel, who wrote 29 oratorios and 42 operas, did so with the idea that men would sing the parts of men and women. I'm using quotations when I say men because some of the men who sang back in that period did so in what I would call a horrifyingly unnatural way. Of course, I'm talking about the tradition of the castrati. Mm-hmm. And now countertenors like myself, I'm happy to report, do it in a natural way.
Since that style you don't hear very often, did you ever find any pushback from that? People wondering why you did it or maybe not appreciating it?
The weird thing is that in popular music, we're all used to men singing in that range. And so if you think about my grandparents listened to Roy Orbison and Frankie Valli, and my parents listened to the Bee Gees. I listened to Michael Jackson and Prince. Kids today are listening to Sam Smith. And so in the context of popular music, the men singing in an extremely high range is not that odd. In using bel canto or classical technique, it is foreign to our ear. And so, you know, when countertenors first started to become recognized as soloists again not too long ago, people did treat them as freaks or different. And what I found in working with good voice teachers is that people should treat a voice like a voice, whether it be a man or a woman or high or low. There's good singing. And so if they know how to teach good singing, they're going to treat you as a countertenor like any other singer.
Is the high or low either one, do they both feel totally comfortable to you?
In my own tour programs that I put together, like the one on Friday, I use my entire range. Most countertenors would only use mostly their upper voice and mix into the lower voice a little bit. But I am singing a piece like the example, the musical example, where there are notes for baritone and some for mezzo-soprano, even in the same piece. I'm doing a duet with myself using a mask on Friday. So I will use my entire range as a mechanism for entertainment, but the countertenor part of my voice was an easier technique for me to work out, and that's why I'm a countertenor.
Well, we have a recording of you I'd like to share. This is The Water is Wide. What can you tell us about this?
Gordon Hamilton is the conductor of Australian Voices, and he arranged some pieces for my Around the World in 80 Minutes tour, which is the world's favorite melodies in 10 languages. And this is a song that's an English song. They call it O Waley Waley, and we call it The Water is Wide. And in this arrangement, you'll hear a concert pianist friend of mine who has been on tour with me for a while, Alina Kiryeva from Juilliard, and then a wind player who's a regular sub with the New York Philharmonic, Ryan Walsh. And this is me singing The Water is Wide.
The water is wide, I cannot cross o'er, and neither have I wings to fly. give me a boat that can carry two, and both shall row, my love and I. A ship there is, and she sails the sea.
That's Terry Barber. He's a countertenor and the executive director of Artists for a Cause. Well, that really illustrates what you're talking about, that range. Wow.
For sure. Uh-huh. So there are certainly pieces in the program on Friday that are going to be just in my countertenor range. We're doing a set of songs by Dowland, which are beautifully atmospheric. So I'll use only my upper register on those pieces. And then I'll do Maria from West Side Story, for example. And I'm actually adding a piece, if the audience decides that they insist on an encore, is going to be a piece from Hamilton, which is bringing it to the now, if you will.
I guess you've seen it, have you?
I haven't seen it, but I own the recording, and
I think if you have $400, we can get you a ticket.
Right, for 2019.
Yeah, right, exactly. The concert you're talking about Friday is Vignettes. That's going to be at the Ethical Society.
Yes.
Okay, Artists for a Cause. It creates opportunities for performers to use their talents while at the same time aiding the community. Those are sort of my words. But how did this come about for you exactly?
So I was explaining that through the loss of my mother, I recognized the need in the community to help artists, not just performing artists, but visual artists. And, that what I witnessed in Florida, for example, was that charities would ask professional visual artists to donate their paintings, for example. Uh-huh. And they would say, well, I've been asked so many times and this is my livelihood, so I'm going to give you a piece of art that I really don't think represents my art well. It's in the garage. No one's going to buy it. So I'll give you this piece of art that really is not a great representation of my talent. And then that organization will put it in the corner with bad lighting, and they won't promote this wonderful artist through their 100,000 person network. And so I saw a lot of backward peddling and problems that needed to be solved for the artists and to support their interest in using their talent. You know, we have these clubs in high schools that are starting, the Artists for a Cause clubs. We have several in Florida, and our first one is at the Grand Center Arts Academy. Our goal is obviously to get some clubs in the county and city, and for kids to work together from city and county on meeting the needs of St. Louis.
Artists for a Cause seems to be doing so many different things. School clubs is one that you just mentioned too. Let me ask you about a couple of others. You have something you call Dance for Food?
Right. Dance for Food, I was talking about the two events in January.
Oh, right. Uh-huh.
One is going to have the five best dance companies that St. Louis has to offer. Right. And the other is going to be five also incredible ones that are kind of on their way. And people are bringing non-perishable food in lieu of paying.
You do something called Therapeutic Arts?
Yes. Therapeutic Arts is a program that really looks at how the arts can be healing. And so we have a range of services for the elderly and at-risk youth. And so for the elderly specifically, we'll have anything from student performances in nursing homes and assisted living facilities to clinical musicians or art therapists or music therapists who can do something like treat someone who's had a stroke, teach them how to speak again. So really a range of services, everything from if a student goes in and performs for people that are trapped in a building who can't go to the Fox, that is therapeutic in some regard. And there is actually great benefit to their memory when they are accessing songs that they've known from be earlier in their life. And then when we hire a clinical musician or a music therapist, they actually can provide treatments, which are much more impactful as a therapy.
Another program you have, Classical for Schools.
Classical for Schools is, so I always have one program that I am personally doing and how I want to use my talent. And Classical for Schools is really my way of reaching out to kids and influencing them about not only the importance of performing arts and visual arts education, but why a classical foundation within the arts can be really useful. And so one illustration that I give when I talk to them, they've all seen the show So You Think You Can Dance. And so I can say to them, you watch the popular style dancers who are self-taught and how they can often be trapped in a category. And then you watch the classically trained dancer do the hip-hop dance right next to that hip-hop person and then do jazz and ballet and contemporary because they have a healthy foundation, a technique that they developed through the beginning with classical. They know what their body can do with health. And if you look at all the arts, different genres, whether it be visual art or acting or music, classical is a great place to start. And so that Classical for Schools has impacted over 10,000 in the U.S. so far. I've had some opportunity in Canada as well. And one of the things I do is talk to them about my own technique, play them examples of what I've been able to do as a singer that don't really sound like classical. And then they can let me know, okay, which one of these sounds do you think is me? And usually they're pretty surprised.
Would you have an example of that?
Of course I do. So this is a demo that I did for the Audie Amos project that Carl Jenkins hired me to do an album for with the New York Philharmonic, a New Age project. This is a song I co-wrote with Terry Radigan.
Bring it back, bring it back to me. I was hoping you'd remember and take me back to where we were. It's too early for December.
This is a demo I did just for fun one time a few years ago, back before this song became so overplayed that it made me not feel good about it. So one of the things, the funny thing about that was actually it was a radio competition for singing, and they were giving away the track, the actual track that, so Celine Dion on that demo, the full demo, is singing backing vocal to me.
Terry, you recently had some auditions at the Kranzberg. What was that about?
Sure. So actually we've got another audition coming up because of great interest in Artists for a Cause. Exceptional students who are performing artists, either instrumentalists, actors, or singers, can come and get an audition slot. They can sign up by emailing Megan, M-E-G-A-N, at a4ac.org, the letter A, the number 4, the letter A, the letter C.org. Also, professional artists who want to be heard for gigs. In this gig economy, Artists for a Cause can be a slice of their success. And not only do they get paid with cash money, but they also get paid because they know that they're using their talent to meet a critical need. They can go on our website and register free at a4ac.org and talk about not only their talent, their experience, provide some credentials, but also about the causes in the community that they are most interested in supporting.
Well, Terry, now that you're here in St. Louis and Artists for a Cause is here, do you have any long-term goals or dreams?
For sure. Well, of course, I want to be able to perform more myself in St. Louis instead of being on the road all the time. So I've got 3 performances throughout the season. This first one at the Ethical Society on this Friday, the 14th at 6. Then I've got one in December at the Carondelet Mother House, and that's a Christmas program. And then in February, I'll be at the Sheldon with my Around the World in 80 Minutes program. All of my dates are always at terrybarber.com. And Artists for a Cause has their own goals, of course, and that is to really follow the mission, which is to help the artists in St. Louis find a slice of success in using their talent to meet the critical needs that we have here.
That was countertenor Terry Barber talking with Steve Potter. Barber will present a concert, Vignettes, a cultural hear and taste experience, Friday evening at 6 at the Ethical Society of St. Louis on Clayton Road. A grand unveiling event of Barber's organization's Artists for a Cause takes place Thursday, October 20th at 7 p.m. at the Dotzak Arts Incubator on Locust in Midtown. You can find more details at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. Archive versions of past St. Louis On the Air programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. St. Louis On the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.